On this episode, we're reviewing Topolino's Terrace, Tony's Town Square, and Raglan Road with some special guests. This is episode 297 of the Main Street Magic Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Rhonda.
Hey, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at mainstmagic. And if you have not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Capture the Magic community and ask to join. And now we have our brand new schedule, which kicked off just a few weeks ago, where Mondays we will bring you a Capture the Magic Universal. On Tuesdays, we have Main Street Magic with Rhonda and I. On Wednesday, we have the Diz Dudes with Jared and I. And then on Thursday, Jared and Jamie bring you a Capture the Magic podcast. And all four of those shows are on their very own feeds, so make sure you go out and subscribe. And if you want even more content, including Diz Dudes Live, in-park and resort live streams of Walt Disney World and Universal Orlando, if you want a new Club 32 exclusive show that will be coming on Fridays, CTM at the Movies, you get 20% off all CTM network merchandise, and so much more. Check out Club 32 at ctmvip.com. And ZippityDoo.Travel is our trusted source for your next Disney or Universal vacation. If you head to travelwithzip.com, you can fill out a quick form, let them know where you're looking to go, what you're looking to do. Not only will they give you a free quote, but they will help you get booked. They will help you plan. They will answer any questions you have. All of that at no additional cost to you. And if you want the best in Disney and Universal theme park inspired coffees, teas, and more, head out to expeditionroasters.com. Use code CTM15 at checkout, and you'll save 15% off your entire order. So in today's episode, we are going to be doing some restaurant reviews of Topolino's Terrace, Tony's Town Square, and Raglan Road. We're going to bring in our good friends, Lucy and Caleb, who joined us at Disney for a weekend and dined with us at all of these locations. So we decided to have them over, have some dinner, a glass of wine, and sit around the kitchen table and record. So if the sound's a little bit different, that's why. Let's go ahead and bring in Lucy and Caleb now. All right, so we're welcoming to the show our good friends, Lucy and Caleb. Guys, thank you so much for coming on and joining us.
We're so happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, great being on. Thank you.
So we spent a weekend at Disney now about 2 weeks ago or so, and we dined at several establishments. And so we wanted to have you guys on to kind of, and this is what I like, is when we get a chance to go with friends, because we can, there's a lot more items you can try, mm-hmm. and we can do a much fuller review as opposed to, you know, Rhonda and I maybe just sharing a meal or an appetizer or something like that, you know, and for most of these meals, the kids weren't with us, which made them even nicer.
Yes.
So we're going to talk today about Raglan Road, we're going to talk about Tony's Town Square, and we're going to talk about Topolino's Terrace. So first, we're going to get into Raglan Road, and there's a reason that we kind of structured these the way that we did, and you'll see as we go through. We kind of went what ended up being what we thought were probably our favorite, or our least favorite to favorite restaurants, right?
Correct.
So let's get into Raglan Road. And the way we're going to do it is Ron is going to go through some of the bullet points of each of these restaurants. I'll go over a little bit more, and then we're going to talk with Lucy and Caleb about the items that we had, what everybody thought of their food, of the service, of the atmosphere, and things like that. And it's great because we had never really officially dined at any of these three restaurants ourselves, correct?
Correct.
Had you guys eaten at Raglan or Tony's? I mean, I know Topolino's is very new.
No, we hadn't eaten at any of them, and we got to eat a lot in the name of research, so it was a very good weekend.
We did, because we covered quickly three of, we called them updates because there were places we had done on two episodes ago. So, I mean, we did six, like, sit-down meals that weekend. And it's the most we've ever eaten at Disney.
Oh, yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yes.
Because I think, Lucy, you're very similar to me, I think, in the sense of kind of a foodie.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Really enjoying food, knowing food and all of that. How would you consider yourself, Karen?
So, I was actually real excited to eat at Raglan Road because every time we would go to Disney Springs, I would walk past it and be like, I want to go in there. Yeah. And it's always just crazy, though.
Yes.
It's always packed. people everywhere, and I'm like, maybe next time. And I just kept saying, maybe next time. So I was actually kind of excited to go in there because I'm a big foodie, probably not as much as Lucy or you, Jeremy, but I love an atmosphere. I do. Yes. I'm one of those people. I love being kind of enthralled in an environment and just something different.
Yeah.
Quarantine's been hard for Caleb being stuck at home. He thrives being around other people. So it was really hard. It was fun for us getting to try these places with you guys.
Especially. That's good. And it's weird because that's how I thought I would have been during all this quarantine, but I've oddly been comfortable being home.
Yep.
Like, I'm normally the same way. Like, I need to be around people. I like to be around friends in group settings. And actually, I don't know, it was a way to kind of dial back a little bit. But we can save that for a whole other quarantine episode. But Rhonda, why don't you get into some of our normal bullet points about Raglan Road?
Okay, Raglan Road is an Irish pub and restaurant. It is located at Disney Springs, as where they call the Landing. It is Irish cuisine. It is unique theme dining. Reservations strongly recommended. So it's anywhere from $15 to $34.99 per adult. Dining plans are temporarily unavailable, as we all know. They are doing still discounts. You have your Tables in Wonderland, which is food, 20% off food and alcohol. You do 10% for pass holder and 10% for DVC.
Yeah, and currently Tables in Wonderland new purchases are not happening at all. They have not come back yet. And the extension is still a little weird as a little bit of an update, because what they had said is that anything that was March 1st expiration or after was just getting extended for 4 months straight. Ours originally expired 2/29, and when we went and asked about it, they said it was extended to November.
Right.
And we used it six times with you guys that weekend and never had a single issue. We had an issue when we went to Tiffin's. And so they said, 2/29 and before, we're not extending, but I brought a manager out and he pushed it through. And then every time we went to Rose and Crown, they had to get a manager to come and approve as well. So it still seems like they're being very lenient. They weren't just telling us no. And I mean, we weren't trying to play stupid. We just said literally, we went and they said it was extended till November. So I still think, just ask if you have one that expired prior to March 1st, would you say?
And yeah, and y'all have one, correct?
We do, yes.
And what was your expiration?
Not until June.
Okay.
So we should be good for a while.
Yeah, and I think they still potentially, so they still will potentially push you guys, I think, 4 months.
And we just got, like within the last week, our annual pass holder extension just came through on My Disney Experience, because I was waiting for that too. So we got our month added, both of us.
Month added, yeah. And ours came through on that as well.
Yep.
But we still have some questions. So let's get into let's just go right into the menu. And we're not going to break down a full menu because we're going to cover three restaurants during this. But of course, if you're a Club 32 member, you will get all of these notes and links out to the menu so you can read everything in the future. Or you can just go to Disney's website and look up Raglan Road. So I'm going to go through the list, and this is how they actually show up on the menu. And we're going to start with entrees, which we each had one. And Caleb had the fish and chips. So this is their beer battered fish and chips served with fresh tartar sauce. They do have a gluten-free option, and this was $24. So thoughts on this, Caleb, and do you have comparisons to fish and chips anywhere else around property?
Yeah, so it's tough for me. So I went in, and I'm like, oh, fish and chips just sounds so good. And I am a huge fan of the fish and chips at Rose and Crown.
Yes.
So I was kind of excited to kind of compare the two. Well, first things first, when I walked into Raglan Road, I didn't realize how big it was.
Yeah.
So it kind of took me back a little bit, but real cool environment and it was awesome. And I was like, this is a place where I think I need to get fish and chips.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I got it, and it's actually a pretty good size. I would say it's close to the size of Rose and Crown.
Okay.
Like
one,
that.
One big piece of fish, right?
Yeah.
Not too small.
Yeah, smaller pieces.
Yeah. So the size is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so the fish and chips, I mean, the batter's pretty good. And it's hard to compare with Rose and Crown because that's like their staple. I mean, that's just what they're known for.
Right.
And it was good. I don't know. It just didn't stand out. I don't know if it just wasn't seasoned enough, if there was enough there for me. And then the chips also, I feel like just didn't have the crunch that I was looking for.
Yeah.
But it was plenty of food. And I mean, I ate it and the tartar sauce was great, but it's just hard to compare with Rose and Crown.
Yeah, and I you let me have some of the fish, and as we get to Kaylin, she had some chips with her burger. I think you're spot on with all of that for what I've tried. Yeah, it just it didn't have no, you did the fish and chips at Rose and Crown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we always do the Yorkshire fish and chips.
And to clarify, those are the ones that we get because we go to the Rose and Crown pub. And we get them at the counter.
They serve.
So they're the Yorkshire ones.
See, and now do you guys like the two smaller pieces of fish as opposed to the one large one?
We do.
The ratio of batter to fish better on the smaller ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to split when you got two people. Yes. You each get a piece. You don't have to worry about, and yeah, it doesn't seem like there's much batter. Even if it's the same amount, it seems like they're less because they're in two pieces.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I like that part.
When you do sit down, though, for Rose and Crown, it is one big fish.
Right.
Because I would tend to ask if they could cut it in half the next time and then
fry it separately.
Have two pieces.
That's just a diva move. It's like, Rhonda's been changing the menu on them.
Well,
I do agree.
It's one extra cut. I think
yeah, and if you're going to sit down and you're going to have a meal like that, you want what you want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't, maybe was everything hot and fresh for yours, especially concerning the chips? Now, Kaylin had had her meal and I was starting to eat, and then I had one of her chips. By the time I had one of hers, they were room temperature.
Yeah.
They weren't still like real hot, like almost like they were not completely freshly fried.
I would say mine were, they were pretty hot, and why I went with fish and chips is I just felt like I kind of needed to in that environment, but it's also, it's hard. I mean, fish and chips is always going to be pretty good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like
so
pizza.
Yeah. Right. Like, if I eat pizza and it's not that great, I'm like, I'm still happy.
You're still having pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so the fish and chips was, I mean, it was good and I ate it. It filled me up. But comparing that to like a Rose and Crown, that's tough.
Yeah.
But everything was hot. I mean, nothing was cold, but it's just hard to compare.
But I think you're right about the portion size. And I think we'll probably think that as we get through, because next we're going to go to Lucy and the non-Irish Caesar. And they have little names for all of their stuff. They're trying to be inventive here. But yours was baby Jim lettuce, crispy smoked bacon, focaccia croutons, and shaved pecorino. $14, or you can add shrimp for $7. So let's talk about your dish and what you thought of it.
So I chose to add shrimp to my non-Irish Caesar. Salad was good. It was well-dressed. Rhonda and I have talked about this before. We both appreciate a good serving, good helping of Caesar dressing. It was well-dressed. It wasn't under. Bacon was really good. I will say it did have a nice smoked flavor. Focaccia croutons were good. The shrimp were good, but for $7 for an upcharge, there were only four of them.
Yeah.
Which, again, they were good. They were a good size. I was expecting a little more, I think. It was a good meal for me. I wanted something light because of all the other eating we'd been doing.
Right.
So it wound up working out. My meal was fine. I had no real complaints about it necessarily, other than, for cost, I think it was a little high, but it was tasty. I mean, I would order it again. And if somebody was looking for something light at Disney Springs, I think it's definitely a good option as far as salads go.
Yeah. And they're a good sized shrimp.
They were.
I will say, but you're at what? You're the guys are the educators. I'm not. But was that like a buck? Comes out to about $1.75 a shrimp, roughly, right?
Fish, yeah.
That is kind of a lot,
it's
but, you know.
High, but
you're at Disney, so. Mm-hmm. And they were big shrimp.
They were. They were big shrimp, and they were good. Like, the flavor on them was good. It was just, like I say, when it came out, I was kind of like, all right.
Where's the rest of them?
For $5, I could have gotten, I'm guessing, a full chicken breast. So that's kind of where the opportunity cost came in, maybe. Maybe next time I would go with chicken instead of shrimp.
Yeah.
But they were tasty.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to Rhonda next with the Shepherd's to Die For pie. Mm. So this is braised and pulled beef and lamb with root vegetables and a rich red wine jus with Irish peat smoked mashed potato for $20. Let's break down your dish and what you thought of it.
So it's hard because we actually had it here before a really long time ago, and we sat outside.
That's right.
And
we dined outside on the patio
area.
We did.
And I remember this being so much better. So it was very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. It was fine. I ended up eating it the next day. Lucy, you tried it.
I thought it was good. I liked your shepherd's pie better than Caleb's fish and chips.
Okay.
And I tried both. I thought the flavor was very full.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't under-seasoned.
Yeah.
It was hot.
Yeah,
of everything we tried, it was very hot. It comes in a little tiny like cast iron crock, which is very cute. I liked it. I would consider if we went back to Raglan Road, I would consider getting that, or maybe even we make get it and split it because it was a good size. Right. And it's very, you know, on brand for Raglan Road, but I thought it was tasty.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to remember. I was just looking at the picture. That was a good size portion, and it's they do it is in like a small scallop, and they do the mashed potatoes on top in like a piping bag. Mm-hmm. So, which I like because you get, when they brown it with the cheese on top, you get like a crisp, like topping before you break into it. I just didn't love Raglan Road. So I'm like more of the bearer of bad news, I think, for this one. Mm-hmm. And then the Rhonda can shoot some sunshine later. But I didn't like the texture with the pulled meat.
Okay, that's fair.
I like ground beef and lamb in a shepherd's pie.
And I do believe that's what it was the last time we had it.
I think it was.
Okay.
And it was lamb, and because it was mixed, I don't remember if it was mixed or just straight lamb, but it was phenomenal the time before.
Because that's...
This was a little different being the pulled. It was almost more beef stewy.
Well, and
it was like a beef stew.
It was as if... From a foodie kind of perspective, it was very one note texture wise.
Yes.
I will say that. It was soft, everything.
Yes.
And that is not necessarily appealing. The flavor was good, but I get what you're saying. If it had been ground, it would have kind of maybe broken up a little bit differently.
Right.
But yeah, the pulled meat plus the vegetables were soft, plus potatoes were soft. It was all kind of one note.
Yeah.
That way.
No, that's a perfect explanation, because that's my whole thing with crab cakes is if outside of Maryland, even if they're using like the right portions of everything and real good crab meat, they overwork it where you get, like you said, it's a one note texture as opposed to having big chunks of crab in it. And that's kind of how I felt about this one.
Yeah. Now that you say that, I agree.
Yeah. But I mean, you brought half home and you ate the leftovers, right? And enjoyed them very much. And then we had my dish, which for some reason, because you got fish and chips, we have, at least they're saying it's non-Irish Caesar. So, like, it's still themed in a way, even though it's not like an Irish dish. Yep. We get the shepherd's pie. And
then
I'm like,
you just decided
I'll get Raglan risotto.
He went rogue.
He went rogue. He went off the path.
We don't know. Honestly, even when you ordered it, I was kind of like, that's an interesting choice.
That? Yeah. And so this is asparagus and arugula pesto risotto, charred baby onions, garlic, mascarpone, and a pine nut crush. You could add chicken for five, or you can add four shrimp for seven.
Was it four?
Yeah. So normally, so that's like their count here.
Okay.
So normally it's $22. So mine at shrimp added $29 was the most expensive meal of the night. and I'll probably let Rhonda talk a little bit more about it because she ate the leftovers and enjoyed them. By my third or fourth bite, I was ready to be done with this dish. And I took a couple more because I was like, I need to eat. Mm-hmm. I could have eaten the shrimp, but I knew I was going to bring it home. So I was like, I'm not going to eat all four shrimp.
Yep.
So I only ate two, I think. I thought this was an absolutely awful dish. Like, it was inedible for me personally. It was weird. It was a one note flavored dish that had, but the one note was just like pesto. It was just overly.
I was going to say, was it
there was too much too.
Okay. And I get that because pesto is a strong flavor.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like, it didn't even like it. Didn't look good.
It did not look good. I will give you that.
Yeah, it looked like a bowl.
Well,
it's
always hard because when I saw it, I guess I don't know if I missed you ordering it. I don't know what I was doing, but when it showed up, it's just that like pungent kind of green color, and I was just like, "What is that?"
Yes.
And
yeah, I mean, I think you're right. It was just a big bowl of green, and then these four lonely shrimp. And I think if it had been maybe like a really good risotto. And maybe it was like, I don't know, like a pesto drizzle of sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shrimp, where you could kind of mix it together. But there was so much. I don't think I like asparagus and arugula pesto. Like, we've done some inventive pestos because pesto can be very expensive to make.
Yes.
With pine nuts and big bunches of basil and all. So we'll a lot of times make it with spinach, a little bit of basil and walnuts.
Delicious.
And it's very, very good. But this was so over, like, powering in a bad way. Now, my goal was to bring it home and see if I could, like, rejuvenate it the next day.
Yes.
And I was thinking maybe I'd like cook it in a pan and maybe add a little bit something like, I don't know what. And instead I was like, I don't want to eat this ever again. Rhonda, you can take it to work. So you took it to work and ate the leftovers.
What did
you think?
And I will say the night that we were all hanging out together, I ended up taking a bite and I don't know. It was weird. And I don't know if it was because you were coming off like I was like, okay, he doesn't like it. Maybe I don't really like it.
And I unfortunately sometimes when I get turned off immediately, it will tend to cloud my judgment for the remainder of time for a little bit. Like kind of like when we checked into Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yes.
And I just opened the door and I was like, look at this stupid view. And then it kind of like, it just kind of messes with me a little, which I'm trying to get better at. But that's why we have Rhonda here to talk about the good. So
anyways, it wasn't that great that night. So I think it's one of these dishes that when it sits, it gets better.
Yep.
Because it sat actually two nights because I ate the leftover shepherd's pie first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I ate this second. And when I warmed it up and ate it, I absolutely loved it. I love pesto.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I thought it was very good. At first, the first night, like the risotto, like a little bit maybe was a little crunchy too. Maybe the risotto wasn't completely cooked.
Okay.
I did kind of think that. I'm not big on risottos.
Risotto is very difficult. It always sends people home on Top Chef. So,
is it supposed to be al dente?
No.
Okay. See, this was al dente.
Yeah, no.
And I think that was the problem.
That's a problem.
And I can fully say this is probably like the third, fourth time I've ever had risotto. So I'm not a risotto pro by any means.
Absolutely. Between that sitting and even the flavors of pesto, it's kind of like chili or lasagna.
Oh,
when
it's always better the next day.
So that makes sense that it was more cooked.
Yep.
Plus the flavors kind of permeated a little better probably. So.
And I always probably cook my food too much at work. So... I think it just was perfect, and I absolutely loved it.
Well, good. I'm glad. And I'm glad that I'm glad that we got the use out of all of it.
Yes. Because, it didn't go to waste. None of it went to waste.
Because when he's like, do you want a doggy bag? I'm like, my dog's not going to eat this, dude. But I'm glad we ate it on. We did really good last week with leftovers.
We did.
We did. Well, let's see. This will be coming up on an episode. We don't really talk about it. We got two orders of bread service at Sanaa.
Oh.
And we took one, and two nights later, we ate the rest of it. And then I got an entire barbecue chicken pizza, which I ate over half one night, so I was proud of myself there. And then Lacey and I ate the rest of it the other night. Like, we often will throw out leftovers, unfortunately. No,
yeah, we do the same thing.
Sometimes. So I'm glad that we finished it. Finally, we're going to get into what Kaylin had, because she did decide to come and be an adult with us that night, which she very much enjoyed.
And she did.
We had a lovely time with her.
She loves hanging out with adults. And it's funny because...
She loves Lucy and Kaylin.
Oh, yes, she does.
We love her. The feeling's mutual.
Well, a couple years ago, I don't remember what age she was, like, anytime my parents would come and hang out, or Rhonda's parents would, like, Kaylin would look at us and be like, why do you guys just sit around and talk all the time? Like, because like a kid's brain can't process. Why are you not playing a game? Why are you not doing something? Like, and we're like, we just talk. And now she loves to do that, which is so cool. So she just wanted a burger. But with the way Kaylin is, her burger consists of meat on a bun. That's it. She doesn't like cheese on her burger. She likes nothing else. You'll put ketchup on it after it comes.
Correct.
But that's it.
Correct.
So when I go back and I don't remember the receipt looking at it, because I was just so mad at the risotto, I could barely see straight. So I'm pretty sure that she got the OMG burger.
I don't see a kid's menu anywhere on the website, so I'm pretty sure that is.
And so this normally is a dry-aged prime short rib and brisket beef burger, Irish bacon, dubliner Irish cheddar, crispy potato straws with Jameson Irish whiskey barbecue sauce, for $22, which sounds absolutely
incredible.
We should have
just all gotten
that. All that.
Like, just four orders of that.
That would have been, and I was looking at it, and I was like, no, risotto. That makes so much more sense than a delicious burger. Let's get a risotto filled with my yard clippings. And so I'm pretty sure that that's what they potentially charged us for, but I don't remember the receipt. So hers was literally just a burger and bun. Now, I will say that it was we each took a bite, and it was a very, very flavorful burger. Yeah. I will go back here specifically for a burger to try it.
Right.
You agree?
Yeah.
I'm not going back for the risotto.
Thought it was all good.
Yes. You did think it was all
good.
But
also, and I think Lucy and Caleb, I'll get your opinion on this, because I already talked to Jeremy.
Yeah, let's talk atmosphere.
Because
I know it's what you're getting into.
We were hanging out. There was Irish dancing. There was Irish singing.
Yes.
Yeah.
A band.
It was very loud. So if we were wanting to talk, it was harder. Mm-hmm. But if we were wanting to kind of party and enjoy the Irish song and dance and singing along.
Because that River Dancer was like right next to us, too.
Literally right next to us. Right. I was even thinking if this had been... So we hung out three nights in a row. Yeah. If it had been the second night when we were at Springs and we went to Jock Lindsay's and all that, if we had gone and maybe sat at the bar, and we'd I think it would have been a little different.
Would have been
than what we wound up doing. I will say, atmosphere. Yeah, it's loud for the two of us. I think even with tables, our check was close to $100. Yeah. Now, granted, we got drinks,
right,
which always adds up, but it was. It would be tough for me to go back, I think, and order a full meal here.
Yeah.
Like, we would probably sit at the bar and split a burger or split something.
The portions were perfectly done.
Exactly.
That's one thing I will say. I mean, as much as we can laugh at the four shrimp, the portions were still...
Oh, they're not shorting you on food.
Even if I had liked the risotto, I don't think I would have finished it that
night. Yeah.
I mean, I really wouldn't have. And you know, she wasn't going to finish the shepherd's pie, but we could have easily split any of them. I think we all could have split meals. It would have been good. So you, Caleb, having walked by so many times and saying, that looks like a place, like, I like to party. Like, I want to go in there.
Yeah.
Did it live up, like, at least the atmosphere and everything? Did that expectation
the atmosphere,
live up to what you wanted?
It did live up. And like Lucy was saying, I think just how we are, we kind of like to be at the bar. Like, we like to sit at the bar. We like to interact with the bartenders that are working. We kind of get, like, to know their story. And, I mean, during everything that's been going on with COVID and everything, it's, you know, they usually have the outside going, too, and it's usually, like, all-out, crazy, just fun. And it was still loud and awesome dancing, but it was, I feel like, a little bit probably different than what it normally is.
I agree.
So next time, hopefully, when everything's getting back to a little bit normal, I'd like to go in,
have the full experience.
Yeah.
I even felt a little bad for the performers. As they were trying to engage the crowd. Because it wasn't that the crowd wasn't engaged. There were just less of them.
It was half a crowd.
So it was hard, I think, even for them to really be able to do what they do best there without it being full of people.
Yeah.
So my heart went out to them. And again, the atmosphere is exactly what we signed up for. Like, it is what we were expecting. But yeah, it's not necessarily a good, like, sit down, mellow.
Right.
We're going to have some conversations. Unlike some of the other places we're going to talk about.
I want to go back and get my face on a beer.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that's on our list.
We wanted face beers, but, you know, COVID shuts down face beers. Yeah.
But I would say,
what are your
I would say
thoughts?
This is a great...
Because you and I have a little bit of a disagreement on this portion, I think.
Well, I would say, and this is where you say I'm sunshine, but I would say this is a great place to go hang out, have some drinks, and if you happen to be there and you're like, I need to eat because I've had some drinks, that's where you eat.
I agree.
It's not where you go and you go, hey, we're going to go eat this amazing dinner.
Agreed.
Let's go to Raglan Road.
No, absolutely.
We're going to go. We're going to drink. And I'm hungry, so let's get some food. And it's still good.
Yes.
But it's just not the food that you're going to...
There's so many other places at Disney Springs that you can go
and get
food that's going
to
just blow you away.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to probably...
That's a very good way to put it because...
Exactly what I thought.
This will probably get put on our rotation as Caleb and I are young, fairly young and without children, that we like to go to Springs and we will bar hop and we'll go and we'll get drinks and we'll get an appetizer or one food item and we'll split and we'll keep going. I'll put this on the rotation for sure that we'll go, we'll get a snake bite, we'll get a harp. And maybe we'll split an appetizer, like they have wings on the menu, I bet are tasty, and just kind of grab something and go. It's not like I'll never go back. That's definitely not what I'm saying.
Right.
But for a sit-down meal, given all the other options at Springs, I don't know.
This wouldn't be your choice.
No, I don't think so.
Now,
but I will go back.
With the because I do agree with Rhonda's point about, like, now luckily we had already hung out with you guys a bunch. So, like, like almost if this had been the first night, I almost would have been like, well, shoot, we were trying to, like, hang out with them and talk to them, and it was hard to do.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it worked that it was our very last meal.
Agreed.
Which we didn't even know we were going to have with you guys because, you know, the way Rhonda gets, and she's like, we got to stay another night. Like, it doesn't matter that I work at 10 in the morning. I want to stay. And so we didn't even ever expect to eat with you there.
Mm-hmm.
But as again, a couple, younger couple, because you're much younger than us, without kids, though, that is probably much more your speed than, again, going with groups of friends.
Yes.
Or, like, you wouldn't say, hey, where do you want to go for date night? Raglan Road.
No, like, that's not going to be. Not, no. That's not going to be your spot.
Like you said, it's your rotation of you're at Disney Springs, mm-hmm. you stop there for a beer, you realize, you know what, we're actually hungry.
Right.
Let's, you know, get a burger.
And I will say for ease of altering reservations, which is quick,
yes.
just to kind of point yeah. in, because we were at Animal Kingdom. This was Sunday. And you guys decided to stay another night, which made us joyous. And we're like, okay, we're going to go to dinner. So I, you know, went into MDE and it kind of kicks you over to the Disney website full yes. now, which is fine. And modified for the four of us. And then like, I think it was like 15 minutes later, Kaylin said, you know, I really want to go. Yeah. I modified again to 5 and had yeah. no issues.
Yep.
Like it was very seamless. And I know it's lower capacity, but I was pleasantly surprised by how easy it was to alter the reservation.
It's nice, it's yeah. nice to do. And I do think this is a place, I mean, again, we hadn't been here in so long, but when things are back to, we'll just call them normal, you know, if you're back to full, I think you certainly do want a reservation.
Absolutely.
Like we, I think
yeah.
there's, no, I have eaten here before too. I went for David's bachelor party. We went here.
Okay.
As well, which was, but that's still been quite some time. So I've been here quite a few times. Okay. First time I tried the risotto. Though, so. Luckily, I didn't do that so many years ago at David's bachelor party. I don't think that would have gone well. But so overall, I mean, you know, the more we talk about it, I'm going to push the risotto aside, and I really want to go back and get that burger.
Yes.
Like I want. I say we do make a point, like Caleb said. Let's all go back. Yep. Let's find a time. Maybe we can sit at the bar. Would be wonderful.
Of course. Get face beers.
Face beers. Burgers.
OMG burgers.
I'm in.
And I have a feeling there will be no disappointments whatsoever. Because I do love this atmosphere.
Yes.
It really is.
It's a party. I mean, it is. It's fun. Yeah. It's definitely a good place to be.
I love Rose and Crown, but imagine putting this into
the
United Kingdom Pavilion just as
well, is. Well, and that's what's so weird. And that's what... Because we go to Rose and Crown so much,
yeah.
and we're usually not sitting down
right.
in kind of an environment like this where it's loud and it's busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that it took away from the experience at Raglan Road, sitting down at a table
mm-hmm.
and like
just different.
Having like a dinner.
Yeah.
It just seemed kind of weird.
Atmosphere.
Yeah, right. You want like standing up or sitting at a stool, you know, you
yep.
turn around and people are dancing behind you and people are yeah. clapping and it's like a lively place. It's kind of weird to eat dinner there sometimes.
No, I can totally
yeah.
see that. And y'all love Carol from Rose and Crown?
Charlotte.
No, Carol's the piano player.
Charlotte the bartender is our very favorite.
Yes, but you know
but
the piano
yes,
player,
I
right?
do love Carol
so,
the piano player.
She was playing. She was playing not there. She is in, so they've converted for Food and Wine, you know, the big World Showcase
I
pavilion.
I saw today
where they
that they're doing
do.
Live music.
Yeah, she's in there on stage
how wonderful.
Playing. And it was cool because we walked by and there were people walking up going, Carol, we're so glad you're back. And she's like, I'm so glad to be back. So she's not in Rose and Crown.
Okay.
But you can catch her in that World Showcase pavilion, which is right between Canada and the UK.
That brings me joy.
Yes, it was so cool. All right. We're going to move on to Tony's Town Square Restaurant.
Okay.
Which I think a lot of people are going to find interesting because before we get into this, I'm going to go on record and say that I've not heard many great things about this place. And so that's why I'm glad for us to have dined here.
Yes.
I really, really am because I think it's going to be a different experience. I don't want to spoil it, but Rhonda, why don't you go through some of our standard bullet points?
All right. Well, it is Tony's Town Square's restaurant is in Magic Kingdom Park. It is on Main Street, USA. You do need a valid admission and park reservation for the same park on the same day if required.
Yeah.
It is American Italian cuisine. It's casual dining, so it's $15 anywhere to $34.99 per adult. Again, no dining plans, and the discounts are as normal, Tables in Wonderland, 20% food and alcohol, pass holder 10%, and DVC 10%.
Yeah, and if you don't remember, this is where Lady and the Tramp had their first kiss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It wasn't specifically at this restaurant. It's a representation, so don't look for them there. But let's dive into the menu, and then after that, we'll follow that thing of let's get into the menu, and then we'll go into like kind of the atmosphere and overall thoughts, because I think that worked very well for the last one. So we're going to start with the antipasti. Are you either of you good at Italian words? I need help in pronouncing any of these?
Lucy's got you.
Okay.
Yeah, she's good.
Right. So we both ended up going with the Capri salad
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as an appetizer. This is vine-ripened tomatoes, fresh mozzarella, and balsamic glaze. Of course, there's some basil with it for $12. Let's start with you guys and what you thought of this for your appetizer.
Go ahead, babe.
This is like one of our favorite dishes anywhere we go.
Yeah.
We see it, we get it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And especially on like a hot day.
Oh, and it was hot.
So hot. This was such a great break.
I mean, it's
what, noon?
Yeah.
I think our reservation was roughly.
And so that was kind of our idea going into it. We wanted something like fresh and light to at least start.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, we'd been walking around, you know,
we got to take our masks off. Yes. So that was lovely.
Which is amazing.
I can say make ADRs for sit downs.
Absolutely.
Just to take a break. I mean, you can do it with quick service.
But this is
just to sit in AC. You're going to always be indoors for the most ADRs at a park.
It was so clutch.
Just such a great break. Yeah.
No, but it was delicious. I mean, it was a pretty good portion to split.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, they had, you know, fresh tomatoes kind of just laid down on the plate with mozzarella on top of the tomatoes. Then you had little pieces of basil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the glaze on
and
there.
And balsamic glaze. And I mean, it's what I ordered. It's what I was expecting, to be honest. And
totally.
It was perfectly fresh, light, and it was on point.
I can say, too, the bread there, because we got bread.
Yes.
That was, I want to say kind of focaccia-y.
I think it was very
And it was focaccia-y. It was a little dry, mm-hmm. but I wound up eating the bread with the caprese salad, and I kind of almost made like my own bruschetta a little bit.
And it
was very good, because it kind of, I took some of the kind of juiciness of the tomatoes and the mozzarella on the bread, and it was just a really nice little starter.
You kept that to yourself?
I guess.
You didn't tell anybody else,
I guess,
right?
I did.
Remember seeing that or her?
Yeah.
I guess
that,
I did.
She like
that
was in her little corner making this amazing invention while all of us are...
Yeah. And there was that one time she took the plate and turned her back to us. I didn't know what was happening, but man, that would have...
Really sorry, guys.
I didn't love the bread, but I bet that would have... I thought the bread was a little dry.
Yes.
But that would have been a perfect like combo. What did you think of it, Rhonda? Because we had ours.
I completely agree with Caleb. It was just... amazing and on point and fresh and refreshing for this time of day, and I loved it.
Yeah, and it was a combination of halved like grape tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
and then a regular like tomato. I don't know what mm-hmm. kind of tomato it was, but
beef steak tomato.
maybe Roma.
I
don't like tomatoes. Like, I don't like tomatoes as that,
right.
but I will totally eat it in this scenario. It's the only time I eat them like that. Like, I don't want one on top of a burger or a sandwich. I don't want them diced up on a salad.
You need that complete bite.
Yes, and it's so good. And again, like you said, Caleb, it's so refreshing. It was just, it was perfect. I mean,
it was awesome.
Lacey was eating some.
Yeah, she was.
Kaylin was eating some. Mm-hmm. Like, it was exactly what we want. And our neighbors across the street here are from New York and make some amazing Italian food, but they make an incredible, incredible Capri salad and a bruschetta. His bruschetta is... The best ever. But I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
Now, if we had known Lucy's little tip of putting it on the bread.
I know.
We'll remember that for next time.
So sorry I kept that to myself.
But that is great.
It was inadvertent.
Yeah.
I was saving it for you guys, listeners.
Yeah, see, that's perfect.
That's right.
Like, I would go back and do that just for that. But so next, Kaylin actually ordered, and this is on the antipasti menu, is the Caesar salad.
Yes.
And this is a wedge style, hearts of romaine, which she was very confused by the wedge style, because you don't normally get a Caesar salad wedge style. Tony's house-made Caesar dressing and Romano focaccia crostini. This was $12. Now, she did add a grilled chicken breast.
Yes.
And he just offered that. It's not listed on the menu as a price upgrade, but I'm guessing it's probably along the lines of Raglan and some of those. That's about $5.
Okay.
I don't know if it would have been a $7 shrimp. Upgrade for 4 shrimp, but and this was good. I mean, we had some.
I liked it.
Now, you guys said you like yours dressed proper. I thought this was a slightly overdressed, but it didn't make it any less good. It was just a good amount of dressing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I thought I loved the dressing. I loved everything about it, and she did too. She ate the whole thing.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
The wedge thing just threw her off. She's like, what do I do?
She was very confused by the whole heart of her.
I remember the first time I saw a wedge salad, and I was like an adult when I did, because I mean, and I was like, what in the world is this?
But it's
so true. Yeah. You have no idea how to attack it.
You're like, am I supposed to make the rest of my meal? I thought you guys were taking care of this portion. Like, you're not going to bring me like a raw burger and I got to cook it. I mean, maybe you could. They do have those places.
Have you ever been
to Korean like barbecue?
Yes,
right,
I've been to one.
But have you ever been to a melting pot?
Yes.
Where you
same
actually
concept.
Have to cook your meal?
Yes.
And then pay a ton of money.
Not a fan of
cooking
your own
not
meal
this,
for
no.
that
not
price
this
structure.
One. No,
okay.
no.
Well, all right. So next time we have you over, we'll do that. because we used to do fondue all the time.
I would love.
We haven't done it
I
forever, but we would always start with the cheese dish, and we would do it with like veggies, like apples and bread.
Delicious.
And then we would move to the oil.
Amazing.
With garlic, and we would usually do like shrimp, chicken, and beef.
Sounds delicious.
And then we'd get into a dessert one. So we'll plan that next time. Fabulous. And it won't cost you what melting.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds great.
We there got you go, covered, honey.
But that is funny. All right. So next, we're getting into how would you pronounce it? Secondi piatti.
Yep.
Which is like their entrees. All right, so we'll start with our dish because we split, and it was the shrimp fettuccine Alfredo.
Yep.
This is shrimp with fettuccine and Alfredo sauce. It's a great description. I don't know how else I would have put that.
Super straightforward.
For $24. Yep. What did you think of this?
I thought it was very shrimp and fettuccine Alfredo. Very olive. Garden.
Oh, like. See, now you're allowed to bring up Olive Garden comparisons, but when I do it for Viennapoli,
no. So
it doesn't work so well here's for the me. Thing. I get some kickback on that one.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, I'm eating Olive Garden, and I love Olive Garden, yeah. So don't get me wrong.
Yep.
I agree.
The shrimp was really good. In fact, I think the shrimp was better with the fettuccine instead of just like having it, because the shrimp was seasoned really well, and then eating it together was really good. If you eat the shrimp by itself and then just ate the fettuccine Alfredo by itself, it kind of was missing.
Okay.
So yeah. I think it was good to eat it together. But I love Olive Garden, so I'm okay with this because I'm eating Olive Garden in Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Yes.
Sipping on a glass
this
of wine.
This is where we talk about that experience cost being added.
Correct.
And I think so that, I mean, like Olive Garden, and like, I mean, it just gives you, like when I think of Olive Garden, that gives me like comfort. It's like something that I know I'm going to enjoy it.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it warms you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely. Like this is boxed pasta, but they're not promising you anything else.
Right.
They're not saying, hey, this is handmade pot. This is, you know exactly what you're getting. And I actually think they delivered. It's boxed pasta, it's canned sauce, and it's freshly prepared, good sized shrimp. And there were six of them. And they did it perfectly.
So there were six.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
I mean, this is what I would make at home.
Yep.
And it would be very, very good.
And satisfying.
I really enjoy it. It was a good portion. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. If you ate just the noodles with the sauce, you're like, there's just something missing, a little bit of something. And then you ate it with the shrimp, and you're like, oh, this is great. This is what I expected to be here. It's not what I've seen, I feel like, reviews be, where I think people have been overly negative about saying this is box pasta and canned sauce. They're not telling you it's anything else.
Well, and I wonder,
you know, like,
I wonder how much of it is expectation, because when you go into a Viennapoli, and then you leave it thinking that was kind of like Olive Garden, you're disappointed.
Right.
Versus we went in here thinking,
expecting Olive Garden,
expecting it,
yep.
And it was delicious, but it was kind of right on par with what our expectations, maybe a little above, because our expectations, I don't think, were super high.
Right.
Combined with the fact that it was so hot, and we were just happy to be in the AC.
Yes.
I think it was kind of like a perfect little meal. Yeah. Like, honestly, I mean.
And we got an awesome big corner table.
Yes.
Yeah, no, and my thing, and Lucy told me where we were going to eat, and for some reason I couldn't picture where it was.
Yeah, you really don't.
I don't.
We couldn't, like,
and I don't know
comprehend.
What I thought was in that building.
Right.
I've walked past it hundreds of times, and I'm just like, oh, that's a beautiful building on Main Street. Yeah. Welcome to Magic Kingdom. And when she told me it was, I was like, oh, that's kind of exciting. There's a sit-down, like, Italian restaurant. So I was just excited to, like,
have that experience.
Yeah, exactly. It was something that I didn't even know before that was there.
Yeah.
Nice. And I was like, wait, there's an Italian restaurant in Magic Kingdom? That's kind of crazy. And then, I mean, like you said, Viennapoli, I'm with you. I mean, just get the pizza there.
Yes.
But
so good.
My expectations going into this is just to enjoy it and, you know, look for the positives.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it was. And then you guys got the chicken parmesan.
Yes.
Which is lightly breaded chicken breast with provolone and Tony's marinara sauce over spaghetti. And this was $26.
Mm-hmm.
So did this fit all those same descriptions of what we've been talking about? Like,
it's absolutely.
Just, it's what you expected, which was perfect.
It was delicious. It was very easy to split. We cut that chicken breast in half. We each got half the spaghetti. It was
breaded good. I mean, not much breading, which I like too.
Cooked perfectly. The chicken breast was, I hate the word, but still very moist inside.
Quite moist.
It was delicious. We both left that meal with between the caprese and the chicken parm feeling very satisfied. We weren't overly full.
Yeah.
It was a good experience. I would strongly consider, especially if it's very, very hot, booking another ADR here for lunch. Yeah. Like, it's a great midday break, and the food was good. I would absolutely 100% go back.
And it's one of the only places where, yeah, like Jeremy and Rhonda, where you can get a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And we did do a bottle of wine.
Yes.
We did.
Well, because I did math, and we saved $2.
Absolutely.
Because I figured we might each have two glasses.
Yeah.
And so it just made sense.
Absolutely.
And I don't like that. Now, it was a very fancy twist off.
Hey.
Which
we're drinking
right now.
You guys
got right now. I hate actual corks now.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Like, mostly what we do, I like either the rubber corks or I like the twist off.
I agree.
For some reason, I don't know. I don't know what I do. Every time I do it, somehow part of the cork like breaks
gets
off into the
wine. Yes.
Caleb is really bad at opening wine.
Yeah.
But so good at other things.
that's not on there. All right, so we'll go into what Lacey had, which was the kids create your own entree, and she went with the grilled chicken with roasted potatoes. Then you actually get two selections. These kids' meals, when they do these create your owns, are really, really well priced and
absolutely.
A ton of food.
Absolutely.
Which we don't always need a ton of food, but the price is $11.
Yeah.
So it's not really, even if she wastes some, I don't feel like it's wasted. Now, she went with sliced apples and cupcake with hers. She loved the grilled chicken.
Did you taste it?
I did. And it was very good. Again, dare I say moist. she didn't care for the potatoes, but I thought the potatoes were good. But
I liked them too. They were
seasoned, and she's not going to go with that much
seasoning. And they were like red. Little red and half cut. So like, I really liked them too. I ate a couple of them actually.
This was a good portion, a good meal.
It was.
She got a little cupcake with it. Mm-hmm. Like $11. Now we took some back. Did she ever eat it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, we took it back,
this
but I don't remember.
Probably
if she
one
ate
of the
it
ones
not.
That she did not.
It's probably quite possible. So, atmosphere in general. I mean, this kind of feels. I mean, it feels like a movie version of a Lady and the Tramp Italian place. Like, it's not.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like, I've been to like Little Italy and stuff, and I'm not going to be like, wow, this is like Little Italy, or it's like Via Napoli. But
no,
it has a nice little quaint.
It does.
Magic Kingdom atmosphere for an Italian restaurant.
100% agree. I think it was nice going. This is going to sound very twisted. Going during COVID because there were less people.
Yeah.
I think if it had been full capacity, it could have been loud.
Yes.
Because if there was tile and there weren't a lot of walls, it was just kind of one very big open area.
Yep.
And there's potential, I'm guessing, for it to get kind of loud in there. But for us, especially midday, Magic Kingdom wasn't very busy. Every other table was kind of blocked off for social physical distancing. So it was a nice atmosphere for us. It really was.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, when you look at the positives of everything that's going on, this is one of them, because Rhonda and I are getting older and older. Every time we go to a restaurant, we're like, it's so loud. Like, why aren't these people
here?
What? And at all these meals that we ate, like, I never felt once that there was intrusion from, you know, other tables.
No.
The loudest one was Raglan Road because they literally had river dancing and a live band.
Right next to us.
You know, but the people weren't.
No.
And to have this distance between tables is something that I think you just want to chalk up and go,
can
with everything that
this?
Sucks right,
right.
Now, with everything that sucks right now, this part is, let's put this on the positive side.
Agreed.
Well, it's on the pro side.
And I think that on the inside, I feel like Disney did a good job. They didn't try too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
Very just like traditional, old school, what they probably picture Italy.
Yeah, you got your black and white tile and your red booths, and it's just very simple.
It worked.
And our service was fine.
It was.
Just like, I don't know if we talked about service at Raglan Road, same thing.
It was fine.
Very fine.
Yeah.
Very standard, good. Yeah. We didn't wait too long for anything, really.
No,
I think
not at all.
Both
very
places
attentive.
Were great.
Yep.
I wanted to set the stage because I know what we're about to talk about, and it was highly above average.
So we're gonna go into Topolino's Terrace, and that is a wonderful segue and setup because...
Good job, Liz.
So what's funny is that we ate all these meals in reverse of how we're talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
but we were together all weekend, so it really doesn't matter the way we are talking about
them. The way my brain worked when I sat down to the notes is I did them in the order we ate them, which was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
And then when we all sat down here, I was like, Well, guys, wait a second.
Hey, I'm glad we started.
High note.
Yes. I'm glad we started with Raglan Road because that's the last one I remember. Yeah. You know? I was like, wait a minute. This is actually making sense now.
We're doing this is the reverse. But, all right, so we're going to get into Topolino's Terrace, Flavors of the Riviera. Mm. Rhonda's going to run through our standard bullet points here.
Yes, so this is located at Epcot Resort Area, and in the name, Flavors of Riviera, it is Disney's Riviera Resort. Mm-hmm. That is where it's located. And this is French-Italian cuisine. This is character dining and fine signature dining, but character is only at breakfast. This is $35 to $59.99 per adult.
And it's a signature restaurant.
Right. Again, no dining plans, but again, discounts available. You got your Tables in Wonderland for 20% off food and alcohol, pass holder 10%, and DVC 10%.
Yeah, and as Rhonda mentioned, so breakfast in the morning is done with Mickey and Friends, and we've heard wonderful things about it, and I would love to do that. But we went for dinner on the Friday night that we arrived. And let's just get into before we get to the menu, let's get into everything about arrival. Let's start, because I think somewhere like here with the Riviera being so new, your arrival in the front and walking in and getting what's kind of like a private elevator a la California Grill to the top floor.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, is very similar to a contemporary California Grill.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say at this point,
we did a little shopping too.
We did. Yes. Unfortunately, though, the
Skyliner
was closed. But honestly, I think this was good because
we got a full experience really coming in.
Yeah.
Under that big porte cochere and the murals and the want to say there was even a manager or two might have been outside that kind of welcomed us in, and it was we got the whole treatment.
Now I'm trying to remember, because we did Lyft there and back.
Correct.
And we've done some other Lyft rides that we did with Kat and Michael, and I'm getting them mixed up. Was this one of the ones that looked like Dexter was driving?
No, this one was normal. Right. In fact, this one...
We've had some Dexter rides.
On the way there, you got to sit in the front.
Yes.
Which was unusual.
That's right.
That was weird. Were you uncomfortable?
I don't want to sit in the front without COVID.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to be in an awkward conversation.
We squeezed, I think, the three of us. Uh-huh. Yeah, we squeezed.
Because we could have gone in the back.
Back, yes.
Right.
But we just squeezed, and then Jeremy sat in the front.
Sometimes I never know. I think they don't really want you to sit in the front, but sometimes I'm like, well, maybe they do.
Yeah, maybe.
maybe they've been driving alone, you know, just with people. They want someone to talk to.
No, that's fair. Yeah. But I do like that grand entry coming in.
Oh, absolutely.
I forget, was this the first time you all had visited Riviera?
It was.
So what are initial thoughts as you walk into this brand new resort, which is not on the same, you know, scale lobby-wise as many other deluxe resorts?
It's DVC, they want to be more of a home.
Welcome home, yes.
I will say I was on the very judgmental team when this was being built as far as color scheme goes. Like 1,000% driving by, I was not a fan. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like the gray. I didn't really get it. But when we got there, the inside is homey, but it does still feel grand.
Yeah.
Everything's very clean. I like the color palette that's used inside.
No, I agree.
I mean, it feels like coming home.
Yeah.
I mean, even when we checked in, we stayed at Pop Century that weekend. I teared up just going through the security and her saying, welcome home. Like, that's what we love about Disney, though. Yep. And even just going for dinner to Riviera, it felt very much the same way.
Yes.
Like, we felt welcomed. We walked around. We did a little shopping. We walked into kind of one of the lounge areas and just kind of looked around. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. What'd you think, Caleb? Same?
Yeah. No, it was... I really do think I was bummed that the Skyliner wasn't open, but I'm with Rhonda. I think getting that experience of coming into that front area, I think made it. I'm glad that for me to see that resort for the first time doing that is big.
No, I agree, because you're right. If you do come in through the Skyliner area, it's pretty, because you come off and you see the big murals they have, with like the Tangled mural, and there's a giant walkway, and it's got these beautiful fountains, but it's not the same ever as coming through that entry. way in that initial lobby.
And the lobby's, like you said, it's not grand necessarily, but it reminds me a little of Grandestino because you kind of have the balcony with the two-story windows that you can kind of go down the stairs to the ground level. And it's beautiful because you get to see the lawn games and kind of look out over the water, and you can see Caribbean Beach. And yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a great setup. So we headed upstairs. We take the elevator up and we get out, and our table's not going to be 100% ready. So we went and headed to the bar to grab some drinks. Which all bar stools and all had been removed, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
We were standing.
Yes,
we
had a couple round tables.
And then Lucy and I were at a table.
So you can stand, but no seats.
Okay, so we got some drinks, and then within moments, our table was ready, and went and sat. And very, very spaced out, I felt. Very quiet. Beautiful. You have these picturesque windows, you know, surrounding the entire place. Again, this is most comparable to California Grill type setting.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Without overlooking Magic Kingdom, right?
Even when you walk, even to the point where you walk in and you see the wine.
Yes.
Even that is similar. They've got the big wine cases kind of on either side of the host stand. Like it's, very similar.
Yep.
Yeah. So we sit down, and our wonderful cast member waiter, Mike, comes up, and Mike will go down as probably one of our best waiters ever. His attention to detail, his attention to service, the attention
his
here,
knowledge.
Yeah, the knowledge.
Oh, absolutely, his
and
passion,
explaining everything.
Yep.
You know, and let's talk bread. Ooh. Okay, because Mike brings the bread and he brings the olive oil, and he literally breaks down this olive oil and what regions it's from and why it's a little darker, and like,
oh,
it was just...
Well, I was going to say, let's go back to what...
When we first sit down.
When we sit down. Yes, Lucy got this. Okay. All right, good.
Well, it's like when we first sit down, there's like a white ceramic dish in the very center of the table, and it looks like it's for a votive.
Yes.
So I'm expecting a candle, and sometimes they light it when you sit, so I wasn't sure if that was what was going to happen. They were going to kind of light it for ambiance. So we were kind of waiting. No, the white ceramic dish was for our olive oil.
Yeah.
So he brings these breadsticks that are like pull apart, like petal
kind
bread.
Petal would be a good one other than braided. They weren't necessarily braided.
And the olive oil goes into that white ceramic container, and it is this deep, rich color. And Mike kind of talks us through it and how it was made specially for the Riviera Resort, and it was just phenomenal.
Yeah, and the bread was just perfect. Like a good, think of a good crusty French or Italian bread, and like you said, it was kind of like petaled. It was almost like one braid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Nobody can see what I'm doing here, but this is kind of what it was like. But it was so great because I like when you pull apart and you have that real crusty outside, but then again, very like, just bready inside. Oh, that was so good.
And it was warm. You could tell it was fresh, which is the theme for pretty much everything we ate. You could tell it was just fresh as can be.
And that's what Mike told us, is that basically everything here is handmade down to their pastas.
Yes.
And we'll get into those in a bit, but I'm going to start first with our antipasto in the ricotta. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
would Gianna De Laurentiis be happy with that
pronunciation?
We'll start with that because I think it pairs so well with the bread and the olive oil if you want to do it. And this is tomato, aged balsamic, cracked pepper and basil, and a nice big mound of house-made ricotta for $14.
Yep.
It was delicious.
Well, we're looking at a picture of it right now because we took a picture, and just the presentation is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the dishes here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if we really want to like really drill down into this as a signature restaurant, and you can feel that from the second you walk in the door, from service to plating to everything. But our food is in, it's almost like a shallow bowl that the ricotta comes in. But it's such a well-composed dish. And this is, I guess, where the foodie in me comes out a little bit. Everything we ate here felt intentional.
Every single bite,
every flavor was really well designed to go together.
Yep.
And our meal from start to finish was complete.
Yeah.
Every piece fit together. And I think that's really what sets a signature apart from any other restaurant is from start to finish. And I'm sure at the end, maybe compare a little bit to California Grill because it is a fantastic restaurant. But this meal really felt just very well composed altogether.
No, you're completely right. And I bring this up all the time because I either talk like sandwiches or tacos, right? Because you can say, all right, I got a sandwich and it's got all these awesome ingredients, or even pizza. I mean, anything.
Yeah,
I have all these awesome ingredients, but if you don't balance them well enough it can ruin the entire dish. And like you're saying, everything here was done so perfectly that the amount of cheese compared to the tomato kind of like compote that was with it, to the little drops of oil and balsamic glaze, and it just, everything came together. And we used to make homemade ricotta, remember? We would do that.
It was a long time ago.
It is awesome. Oh.
Sounds amazing.
And it obviously was not on this level, but there is nothing like it. Yeah. I mean, you go buy the stuff from the store, even if you buy the really good stuff to use in like a lasagna or eat with whatever, crackers or bread, there's nothing like it being homemade. And this is 100% homemade.
Oh, yeah.
I'm even looking at the picture, and it came with cracked pepper. Yeah. And I'm even thinking about when you go sometimes to a very nice upscale restaurant that they offer you some, that didn't even need to be done here because they did it for you.
Correct.
Like, it was already thought out that this dish is going to need that finishing little bit of fresh cracked pepper. It just was so thoughtful.
Yeah, it's like a flavor profile they already know that you need.
You're going to need it.
Like, don't add it yourself. So we're going into the next one, and I would like first to say, Caleb, what were your opinions on olives going into this meal? Because I know it's very similar to my opinion on olives. And then we'll talk about our future opinion.
So I really, it's crazy because I'm one of those people, I don't want to be picky towards anything. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to eat anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've overcome so many things. Onions, mustard.
Wow.
I've gotten there. And I'm like, okay, now it's time to try to conquer olives. And this was a while ago, and I'm like, I'm going to eat an olive. And I ate it, and it was the worst thing that I've ever put in my mouth. It was awful. I don't know how people eat them. It drives me nuts, especially when people put them in like a martini.
Oh,
Not only are you eating them, they're like getting into your drink. It's disgusting.
Yes. I'm totally with you.
So first things first, they bring out the bread and the olive oil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sound like I don't understand what olive oil is, but since this was such a olive oil from the source, real actual olive oil, it tasted like olives.
Yeah,
like legit. You are pretty much just sprinkling olives on your bread and eating it. And I actually liked it.
Yeah. It was enjoyable.
And I was like, wow, okay. And then something happened and something came out that Rhonda and Lucy decided to get for the table.
We did.
I think Jeremy and I were not huge fans of at first.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was the olives marinese. This is lemon, garlic, marjoram, and bay leaf. It's three different styles of olives that are marinated
and
served warm for $9. And it's literally a bowl of olives. Which to me sounds like the dumbest thing anybody would ever present at a meal. These are so good. Like, seriously, these were so good. I'm not going to go eat olives other places, potentially, but I will eat them here again and again.
They were excellent.
They were.
Yeah, and Jeremy tried it, and he was like, and everyone's like, you got to try it. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll try one. And I tried one, and it was actually good. Like, not like, oh, I can put up with it, but I'm like, I'm going to have another
one. You want more?
That's awesome.
And it was weird, though, because I wasn't sure how I felt about, like, warm olives.
Right.
Not that I like olives
in general, but
I'm like, warm olives?
Why would you warm them up?
But again, I think this goes into that whole idea of a continuous meal.
Yeah.
Because especially Topolino's is doing a reduced menu right now, which a lot of places are doing. We got both of the antipasto options.
Yes.
There were only two.
Yeah.
And we got both of them. And eating them together combined with the bread, like, it just all made sense. And I think that helped too when you had the olive oil with the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Then that leads you a little bit more naturally into getting those olives, and it's the same kind of flavors, and they were exceptional.
Didn't we end up like putting the ricotta with it?
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. And I the first time I ever had any sort of olive, it was stuffed with blue cheese in a martini.
Mm.
We'll just say the next day didn't turn out well for me.
No,
it did not.
And then we tried them at Barcelona Lounge at Grandestino, because they have like an olive and like cheese plate and all with nuts and things, like almonds and all.
Ooh, we've had that.
I didn't hate them, but I think I ate one and I was like, all right.
I don't think you even ate one.
I was like, okay, no. I ate one. I didn't like gag.
Right.
I'm okay, but I didn't want any more. And then this, I would go back and get this every time.
Mm-hmm.
which is so weird.
Agreed.
To say. So next, we had a starter on the starter menu was the beets. How are we pronouncing this? Bagulye?
Baragul, maybe?
That sounds good.
Sure.
And this was your recommendation, Lucy. And this is white beans, watercress, garden radish, and a lemon meringue for $17 because you enjoy beets.
I had never had beets. I love beets.
So how did this stack up?
Oh, I thought it was excellent. I will say, and I think I warned you guys this before you ate it, and this is going to sound odd, but beets taste very earthy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, I don't want to say dirt because that sounds bad, but that's kind of what they taste like. They taste very much like they've come right out of the ground. And this dish was wonderful while honoring that. They didn't manipulate them too much. But again, each piece of this dish kind of accentuated and played off of that earthiness of the beet. They didn't manipulate them too much. They didn't throw a bunch of stuff on them. They just kept them kind of as they were and put things with them that made sense. And it made really a great composed kind of bite. They were delicious.
Yeah. Would you think the same, Caleb?
You enjoy it?
Yeah. Now, you normally eat beets because she likes them, or is that something?
I had never had beets before I met Lucy. And actually kind of funny because she actually, when we first met, was like, "Hey, do you like beets?" And so I'm thinking in my head,
that's
I'm like,
odd question.
Yeah, but I'm like,
I said, my sister wants to know if you like beets. We were having a family thing.
Okay.
But in my head, I'm like, yeah, I like beets. I need some new headphones anyway. So it works out. And it turned out she was actually talking about her sister bringing beets to like a family dinner.
How disappointed were you?
I know. And then I see these beets and I'm like, what are these? Where are my headphones?
And I said,
I was like, you said you like beets. And he's like, I thought you meant Beats by Dre. And
that
it was
amazing.
I love that story.
But no, they're good. And I like them. I mean, they were good here. They were really good.
Yes.
I also like them pickled. So if you don't like beets, pickled beets are delicious. Well, maybe not you, Jeremy. But I mean, if you're not a big beets person, if you pickle pretty much anything, it'll taste good.
Yeah, except for cucumbers.
Fair.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Now, did you like it?
I did not.
You did
but
not.
But
okay.
I didn't.
Your mom likes beets.
Oh, my mom really does. She'd probably love this dish. Mm-hmm. But
the vegetable or by Dre?
The vegetable.
Okay, more so the vegetable.
I mean, she'd eat them out of the jar. Mm-hmm. Like
that's what my mom will do. That's where I got my love for them.
I didn't know they came in a jar.
And it's all
like,
red.
That's just like the pickled beets just come in a jar.
You can get them unpickled sometimes, refrigerated at Publix. They have not non-pickled ones that are already cooked that you can get. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I did think it was a good dish. I didn't like it.
Too earthy.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, I agree. It was just earthy enough. It was fresh. It was a good vegetable dish. It was like not getting a standard like salad. Mm-hmm. It was just a different play to me on like a salad, but as in like a starter or an appetizer. So I really enjoyed it. I was surprised because I didn't know that I would. I feel like beets would be a very over aggressive flavor, and this wasn't too bad, but it did have enough earthiness to it. Okay. So I like that part about it. All right, so next we're going to get into the handcrafted pastas. This was your dish, was the rigatoni.
Yes.
I forgot, we each got an individual meal, which I'm so glad we did.
Right, and Caleb got the linguine.
Yes, so
two.
Yeah, so we got two of the handcrafted pastas. So Rhonda got the rigatoni, which was braised chicken, dandelion greens, and a Parmigiano Reggiano for $32.
Yes.
This is handmade rigatoni. What'd you think?
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah. This is the best pasta dish I've ever had.
I think it was really good.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
But you put it up there, right?
Oh, yeah. But I like
it. You can tell it's handmade. That's what I love is their 100%. Pastas. And we'll get into, because Caleb got the linguine scampi with the shrimp, the San Marzano tomatoes, garlic, lemon butter for $36. I mean, you know, going back to what we did enjoy about Tony's, but we knew what we were getting. This, I mean,
we had no
like
idea.
You know, handcrafted pasta, like you know, fresh pasta.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Don't you agree? This was
That's my thing. Going into Tony's, I knew what to expect.
Right.
Going into this, I had high expectations, and I was just hoping that they would meet it.
Okay.
And
it across the board, it exceeded them, I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
But Rhonda's dish was amazing. I remember I took like a couple bites of hers.
I started to say, because I know we shared every bite with everybody.
I think I liked Rhonda's better than Caleb's. And his was delicious. The shrimp scampi linguine, it was amazing. But that rigatoni was special.
Do we have a shrimp count? Since we're doing a shrimp count, I wonder if we should look at how many shrimp they produced. Because it came with the shrimp. This wasn't an upgrade, which was great. You know, I mean...
I'm guessing... In the picture, it looks like four, but I'm guessing there may have been some in, because I'm sure there were more than that.
But they were giant.
They were, and they were huge. And again, portions here were very good.
Like, yeah. Portions were outstanding. And again, I feel like when you're getting regular store-bought pasta can certainly be a little heavy.
Yes.
But that handmade is filling.
Yes.
I mean, it is like, again, it is like...
Very filling. I would say it's almost unfair to compare the shrimp with the rigatoni because they're so different.
They're very different.
Caleb's was very light.
Yes.
And refreshing. And Rhonda's was a little heavier.
Comfort food.
It was comfort food, absolutely. But they both were fantastic.
I'd get either one. That
agreed.
And we had had the rigatoni, I believe Brian had recommended to us. And yeah, he knocked it out of the park given that recommendation.
So good.
So we'll move on to Lucy and my portion of the menu, which is the seafood and meats. And you went with the braised lamb shank, which has polenta, charred carrots, pickled dehydrated pear, and a jus for $46. How did you enjoy your meal?
I'm looking at the picture and it's like making me sad that we can't, right? We're not going back immediately.
Right?
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I've gotten into, I am a little bit more adventurous when it comes to food, especially at Disney, because I feel like they do different kind of meals very well. So I think the first time I had lamb was at Sanaa.
Okay.
And it was a lamb shank served on the bone, just like this one is, but it was more that kind of African spice to it. And it was great. This was better. It was so tender, it literally fell off the bone.
Yeah.
Again, a very well-composed dish between the jus, the polenta, the carrot. I think I made each of you like a bite with everything.
Yes.
I was like, you have to have it all together because one thing without the other parts isn't doing it justice. It was wonderful. It truly was an amazing dish. I would 1,000% get it again.
Yeah. I mean, this was your favorite out of everything, right, that you took a bite of? Weren't you telling me? This was your favorite out of all four meals.
Okay. So good.
Yeah. How about you, Caleb?
It was... I love polenta. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the first time I had it, I was like, this stuff is great. I mean, it's not really... Because I love grits.
Yeah.
It's like extra
it's kind of like, but then it's just smoother.
It's like fancy grits.
Yeah, it's smoother. Yeah. It doesn't get coarse, and it just tastes so good. And they did a great job with the polenta. And yeah, I'm looking at the picture now. I mean, just even the presentation. I mean, it just blows you away.
Yeah.
And, I mean, restaurants can do presentation well, and it might not live up to the presentation, but both ends of it was just spectacular.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the bite I had, too. I mean, this is, so far, all three dishes we've been through, I would get again. I mean, I would order myself. And then I ended up with the filet mignon, because I've been really trying steaks across property. So this is truffled mashed potatoes, charred torpedo onion, which I did not know was a thing before then, but it really does look like a torpedo.
It does.
Forest mushroom puree and a vinaigrette for $54. Currently best steak I've had on property.
Wow.
It wasn't a giant steak. I'm guessing the 5 to 6 ounce range at tops. Like, I don't even know if it was up to that size-wise. This was probably the smallest dish. But boy, did it deliver. I did it medium rare.
Yep.
And it was absolutely perfect. I mean, fork tender, just the flavors on the outside were amazing. The truffled mashed potatoes, everything about this was unbelievable. Like, I will now make this currently from the steaks I've had in the past year, number one.
It was excellent. We each got a bite, and thank you for sharing.
I did not
if
want
it had
to,
been me, I don't know that I would have.
You guys, and you're our friends, and I would, like, as much as I loved the other meals, and there's some great-looking stuff on the menu, it'd be, unless I was going here once a month, like, if we're going here once a year, like, it'd be so hard for me not to get this every time.
Yeah.
Because it was that good.
It was excellent.
So, yeah, that was... I'm hungry. Goodness. We're not getting that though. Oh, maybe we could. Maybe so next we did time. End up doing desserts.
We did.
Right? Yes. So we went with the warm Valrhona chocolate cake, which has a caramel center, chantilly and raspberries for $14. And we did a pistachio mousse, which was chocolate cake, lemon curd, a Morello cherry, and this was $12. How did you guys, and are you dessert people?
I am much more so than Caleb is. Okay.
That sounds like us. Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah. I do not like a heavy chocolate.
No,
yeah.
He I'm not gonna, like rich things.
Yeah, don't give me like a brownie. Like yep. I would rather just
something light.
Some light.
Which is why this played out so well. Yeah. Because where we were seated, Rhonda and I were across from each other, and Caleb and Jeremy were across from each other, and Mike put down the pistachio in front of Rhonda and I.
Yep.
And the chocolate in front of Jeremy and Caleb, and we both we all started eating what was in front of us.
Yeah.
Which was delicious.
Right.
But like a bite in, we were all kind of like, we should probably switch these around because we needed that chocolate.
Yes.
And you guys preferred the pistachio. And yeah, both were nice wonderful, yep. But ooh, that chocolate.
Yep. Lucy and I really enjoyed
so
that.
Good.
These were outstanding desserts.
Absolutely.
And again, down to presentation.
Oh, yes.
Down to flavor. It was a perfect end to a meal. I mean, we had planned it pretty well where I felt like, you know, the sun was about to set. Like, you can walk out on that balcony area. I mean, you know, if you plan this right and you're able to go out when Epcot is back doing fireworks, you know, I mean, this is, yeah. So I'm going to say, all right, I know we didn't, let's go back. All right, rating out of 10, Raglan Road, Caleb. On this experience alone, just say.
I would go with a 5.
Okay. All right, Lucy.
I'd probably go 6.
Okay, Rhonda.
Yeah, between that 5 and 6, 5.5.
All right. My meal alone, I'm like a 3, but we'll get past that. I'm going to go back for a burger and make this a 10. Let's talk Tony's Town Square, Caleb, out of 10. Again, expectation versus reality.
I would go 7 because of location.
Yes.
Just where it is, and you're in Magic Kingdom. And it's not your typical sit down. You feel like you're not in Magic Kingdom anymore in a good way.
No, you're right. No, you're completely right. Yeah. Lucy?
Yeah, I concur. 7 is solid.
7's across the board.
Oh, yeah, because as soon as he said it, I was like, I was thinking that.
Perfect. I mean, do we, Topolino's?
Oh, 11.
Well, I was going to say, this one goes to 11.
I would go there if. I mean, I don't know how I won't go there every time I go to Disney.
My only thing would be cost.
Right. Exactly.
It's not because it's too expensive for what you get. It's just expensive.
No, it's just expensive.
Signature restaurant.
We got very lucky that we had a leftover gift card from Teacher Appreciation that covered our entire meal. Mm. So the next time I go back, I'm gonna rationalize it as I didn't really pay the first time. So it's going to be fine.
Now, going back, because, you know, I don't know how you guys normally eat at Disney. We tend to split a lot, but
we almost never eat at sit-down restaurants. This was very unusual
for
us.
It would be so hard to go back and split a meal.
Yes.
If Rhonda was like, let's split a meal, I'd be like, I don't know about that. Let's go ahead and each get our own.
Well, and I love, I mean, I just love that whole area.
Yeah.
Like that little beach area that we went to afterwards, and they have, what is it, Bar Riva?
Yeah, Bar Riva.
I mean, that area is just alone just to visit, even if you don't eat at any one of those places, you just kind of
just
enjoy.
Well, and I think for me, looking at kind of signature restaurants as a whole, we haven't eaten at a ton. I've eaten at more than Caleb has, but we've both been to California Grill, which is amazing.
So how would you compare?
Okay. I think I prefer this. Mm-hmm. I prefer Topolino's, and this is why. Because I know I'm going to get some hate for this, and I get why. But at California Grill, your menu is so varied, which is great. But you're going from sushi to flatbread to filet to chocolate cake, and they're kind of covering the whole spectrum. Here, I feel like they are very much picking a lane, and they're doing it in a really exceptional way. And it doesn't mean the food at California Grill is not amazing. It is. But this just felt like a complete dining experience, even to the point where Mike, our waiter, he was so knowledgeable, and I think he was able to be even more knowledgeable because it was so specific to Italian food that they're doing really, really well here. So, yeah, I would probably put this – I think this would edge out California Grill for me just a little bit.
I think you put it perfectly – by saying they stayed in their lane. So you get a complete, I mean, from the moment, again, we walked through the front door to the moment we went to Bar Riva and even sat on the beach, was one complete experience. And you're right, you know, California Grill is, all right, we start with sushi, we go to, yeah, a, like, what do we have, those wontons? They were like a Mongolian wonton type thing. Mm-hmm. To, yeah, a steak.
And it's delicious.
And it's amazing, but it's not a complete culinary experience from beginning to end.
Right.
I think that's perfectly on point. I mean, this California Grill, I think, was at least my favorite recently. This edged it out. For sure. Like, I want to look, like, I'm very tempted to look at the end of the month when we go back.
Really?
Of going again.
Yeah.
Just if we can, yeah, set some money aside, because it's going to set you back. Especially
yes.
If you're having
oh, absolutely.
Parents. I mean, you're looking at 150, 160 potentially, I feel like.
Well, and I'm intrigued to when we go back, if once capacity gets to a little bit back mm-hmm. to what it normally is, because every time I went to California Grill, I always just felt crowded.
Yes.
Just as it's how it's set up, which is, it's they do it for a reason. They kind of want to get that kind of circular kind mm-hmm. of outlook at Magic Kingdom. They want everyone to have a view, which is awesome, but it kind of pushes tables close together
certain
along
direction.
Those views.
For sure.
And at
Topolinas,
I felt more spacious, and I felt like it was just bigger, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's just set up differently.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be the same space. I mean, who knows, like space-wise. But I feel like it's just set up and feels a little more spacious than California Grill.
Yeah. No, I agree completely with that. I've just been blown away by this place. And I'm big on expectations, and this far exceeded. I mean, I was glad when we went to California Grill for the first time. I had high expectations, and it exceeded. Mm-hmm. This one just exceeded beyond anything I've ever witnessed.
Absolutely. I think I had high expectations for just a signature restaurant at Disney, if that makes sense. So
for sure.
They were high. Right. But not necessarily exceedingly so, because I hadn't read a whole lot about the food. But it was, it was wonderful. I would not change a single thing about our meal. It was just a really excellent experience overall.
I would even eat olives again.
Oh.
We'll do it.
We'll go back. We'll do it next time. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for hanging out and talking food and drink and all that good stuff. We're so glad you guys got to come on. We will certainly do some trips in the future, and we'll do some more of these, because I like being able to bring, you know, the knowledge and the experiences of other people on, especially when it comes to dining, because everybody's dining experiences are very vast. You know, again, I hate pickles and mustard. You got extra pickles, I believe, at Jock Lindsay's.
Yes.
And we're still
friends,
and I still invited you over, so it's okay. But that's what's great, is that when you get to put in other people's experiences and their tastes and all, I think it's great for the listenership, who is going to be very vast as well. So, guys, we appreciate it so much. We will have you back on again in the future, I am sure. Thank you all so much for listening. If you've not done so already, will you please go out and subscribe to not only Main Street Magic, but Capture the Magic, The Diz Dudes, and the Capture the Magic Universal Podcast. And as long as you're out there, you might as well leave all of us ratings and review.
Because it helps all of our shows grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.